my brother, Ed, who lives in Alberta there, Stony Plain, or near Stony Plain. I don't hear from him that often, but he just took his electric guitar and he played a few, couple of bars, and after about four notes, I recognized the song right away. So, but I guess it was bugging him. He couldn't find what it was. Or,
yeah, anyway, yeah, it was the Canadian Sweethearts, Lucille Starr. That was about 1964-65. Before, I don't know if she sold a million with that. I know that Anne Murray made, I think, was the first really profound female female maker in Canada with Snowbird, but that was Jean McClellan who wrote it.
No, yeah, I know that. No, this came out before she became really famous there. I remember Sing Along Jubilee. Now I can't think of her name, but she used to sing Farewell to Nova Scotia, the Seabound Coast, at the end of the song there. I can't think of her name, but then she left the show, and then Anne Marie came on there with Jean McClellan. Yeah, he wrote the song, and he did a really good job of singing it, but yeah, Anne Marie made it famous, of course. It became a big hit, but from what I've read online, this Lucille Starr, that wasn't her original name, it was a French name. She was the first Canadian artist to sell a million records on a song.
I didn't realize that was the case, but yeah, Lucille Starr, I remember that. It was maybe 64, 65, I guess, when that song came out. I'm trying to remember her husband's name there. But anyway, they had a duo called the Canadian Sweethearts, but that was her breakout song. And, yeah, that was just sort of the beginning of quite a rush of Canadians who actually hit big times in the music scene.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Lightfoot. He came on a couple years later. Of course, Joni Mitchell absolutely. Yeah, they started making a name for themselves.
Actually, Joni Mitchell was before that, but I was sort of in the hippie thing, but idiom. And I think her first breakout song was Bows and Flows of Angel Hair. Both Sides Now, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that was before 1964, though. I think she was close later in the 60s.
Yeah, I think she's from Manitoba, actually. She had a cottage there up on Sunshine Coast by Seashell there for a number of years.
I think she still does, but I think she was from Saskatchewan. Don't quote me, but anyhow. The only song I really know of her that I can sing all the way through is that river. You know, Wish I Had a River I Could Ski It Away On.
Okay, yeah, that wouldn't be one that I know any words from, I suppose. Of her songs, well, Circle Game probably was the one that I enjoyed singing, because it is a circle song, and it kind of makes the loop. Anyway, yeah, Circle Game, and well, Both Sides. No, I know the words to both of those, but Circle Game, I think, is probably my favorite song of hers.
Oh, I didn't know that was she sang that. I thought that was a Buffy St. Marie, but maybe she was just covering it.
I didn't even know Buffy St. Marie sang Circle Game, Buffy St. Marie got involved there with the Pretendians scandal there a while back.
Oh, I'm aware of that whole story there. God, but anyway, doesn't matter. the river, Joni Mitchell, it don't snow here. Steve's pretty green. Gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river. I could skate away on, do you know the one?
Okay, yeah, I know it. it comes back.
I think that's on that blue album of hers, which I have on vinyl, and that's my favorite. That's definitely my favorite.
But I think she's still among the land of the living. She had to stop singing there a few years ago. I think she was probably a pretty heavy duty smoker, and I think COPD kind of put an end to her career.
Well, you haven't been keeping up. I thought it was an aneurysm or something like that, but she's recovered from it, and recently I've heard she's actually been performing, so now she's still out there.
Oh, well, that's good. She wrote a bunch of really great songs. You gotta give her credit for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very, very talented person, for sure. So, other than that, back home cozy there, after I visited my friend this afternoon and had a couple of beers, and then when I got home, I had a couple of... I had to take a little nap, but I kind of have my second wind now, so I think I'm going to grab my guitar and wail away on that for a while.
You've got that Lyra V, don't you?
Yeah, a very nice guitar. I love it.
Yeah, I played a couple of those, but I don't know, I wasn't going to spend that much money or put myself on the waiting list. I don't know, I've got my 1967 Hagstrom, which is actually, I think that's how we started this conversation, which I actually have in Nashville tuning, but I've also got a Morris 9-string, and of course an Ovation and a Martin, but anyway, I got way too many guitars.
Well, I just have two now. I got the Larvae, and the other one's the Prestige. It's sort of a semi-hollow body electric type with P90 pickups on it. And Prestige was started up by, Larvae, they closed up shop in Vancouver, and they moved down to the States, but some of their employees, they started up this Prestige Guitars, and they're based in North Vancouver. The only thing is, it hasn't been played for a while. I was playing it the other day, and I noticed like the pots are scratchy and noisy, and the switch, switching between the pickups and that. But it's really hard to get to, so I'm going to have to spray some deoxin or whatever they call it. So I'm going to have to take it into a shop where they work on that, and they've got special tools and they can actually fix it up. It's a really nice guitar.
Yeah, Neutral, which is made by MG Chemicals, is probably the best one for guitar controls. I'm just looking at a jug of that in front of me on the shelf, but you spray a bit of that in there, turn the control back and forth for a while, and that's usually pretty good. But yeah, I don't know. Years and years ago, actually, when I first was getting into electronics, I was building guitar amps, and I would like to build another one just for fun in my old age.
What, an amp?
Yeah. I put together quite a few of those actually for my friend, guitar amps, bass amps.
I'm down to one guitar amp now, and it was built for me, by this guy in California. He used to have a company, he called it Vintage 47, and he used to build like sort of reproductions of 1940s, 50s Supros and stuff like that. So I got one of those with the octal tubes in it, and you know, it's like five watts, but it's a beauty. And he's actually a ham radio operator. I catch him on the air every once in a while. He retired, sold his company, and retired. But NO6M, never on 6 meters. That's what he calls himself, David. Every now and then I run across him on the air.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so,
Anyway, I can remember, I think it was in the middle 60s, I built the first guitar amplifier that I ever made because I couldn't afford to buy a Fender. Anyway, using some hi-fi amplifier technology that I had acquired, and I had a lot of fun doing that.
You know, you can buy kits, guitar amplifier kits. Yeah, sort of like the old Fender, Tweed amps or whatever they were from the 50s and that. And I've watched videos on them. They actually go together quite easily and sound pretty good. So, like, if you didn't want to source all the parts and build the cabinet and everything yourself, that's an option.
I always had some friends who were into woodwork, and they made the cabinet, and the later ones that I made, which actually were in the 80s, I had a friend who was a really good carpenter, and I built a bunch of amps using Celestion speakers, which are British ones. I think they're probably the same ones that Marshall uses.
I'm familiar with the brand there, but yeah. So I used to have a whole bunch of amplifiers, but I'm trying to downsize because I'll be moving at the end of March into a small place, and not going to have a whole lot of room, so I'm going to try to get rid of everything I don't need and only keep stuff that I need. And so I figure one electric guitar and one amp is enough.
I would hate to tell you how many guitars and basses I have a few kicking around here. Actually, most of the time when I was in the music business professionally, I guess I was a bass player, but I used to collaborate with some people writing songs, so on and so forth. I acquired quite a number of guitars, quite a few of which I still have, but anyway, they'll probably just disappear in the estate sale.
No matter what you own or how much you own, you can't hang on to it forever. I had a nice Fender Stratocaster and a Fender Princeton amp. Well, it was sort of like the modern version of it, but it was all tube, a really nice amp. And a friend of mine came over and he was telling me, he's a musician, local musician here, and he's telling me his son was graduating from high school, and he always wanted a Strat. So anyway, I sold him a Strat and the amplifier, and like really cheap. it was worth it because he sent me a picture of his son playing the guitar, and he had a smile from ear to ear, and he was just happier than anything. So that made me feel good. You know, it's a big deal. I lost the money, but the guitar went to somebody who's going to love it.
Yeah, well, that's probably the way I'd like to see the ones that I have go actually to somebody who would actually use them.
Use them in anger.
In anger or love or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I don't have much else. Michael, it is Malcolm Island. Not a whole heck of a lot of exciting happens here, but.